The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians. This lesson reminds us that the body and the blood of Jesus are truly present in the bread and wine, and that those receiving the Lord's Supper must understand the significance of this presence, lest they eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? The gospel lesson shows us how the love of Jesus surrounds his supper. That love should motivate us to love one another. Proper examination for this meal leads us to ask, have I loved like Christ? Coming forwarded to this meal is a statement to God and each other that we will amend our unloving ways. Reading from the 13th chapter of John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, Not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. Was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "You understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, you should also do just as I have done for you." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father, the Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Reading again a portion of our epistle lesson for today. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died." This is our text. So what is this meal we are about to partake of? Is it just something symbolic, or is there really something in, with, and under the bread and wine? Most of Christianity, in fact, would say that it's just a symbol. Kind of like saying we're just pretending to eat the body and blood of the Lord. But there are certain things when pretending just doesn't cut it. I don't know a lot about pretending right now. When I wake up in the morning, there's a couple of three-year-olds at my house. They pretend all the time. We have, in one of the playrooms, a lot of pretend food articles and even coffee. You press a little button, this coffee pot gurgles. And the coffee kind of magically comes out and fills the cup. And those of you who have known me these many years, you know I love coffee. I got to have my coffee in the morning. And sometimes these little three-year-olds bring me a cup of coffee in a cup. "Drink it, Grandpa," they say. And I put it to my lips and I down it in front of them. It doesn't work. I need real coffee, not just pretend coffee. There are, of course, other levels, if you will, of pretending that are more significant. Or, if you will, more ways that things become symbolic to us, and they have even greater meaning. We have a lamp at my home that I just can't get rid of. It's actually quite beautiful lamp, done kind of in a wrought iron, Mexican, Spanish kind of way, with an octagonal form, with beautiful red stained glass in it. It used to hang in my mom and dad's living room. No, they have passed away. It's one of the heirlooms, if you will, that had special meaning to me. I remember some nights when I couldn't go to sleep, I'd go lay on the couch and have that little light on in the living room and just sort of stare at it. My parents are gone. I don't know how many years I've had that light. doesn't go with anything in our house, but I just can't get rid of it. My wife's thankful that's what I got attached to from the living room, not the 3-foot by 4-foot picture on dark black felt of John Wayne. That got disposed of. But though that lamp may never hang in our house, it's something that just kind of represents my mom and my dad. It's part of them. And you'll bet I'm not alone in having something like that in my house. If you have something from, you know, your mom and dad, or maybe your grandpa and grandma, that's sitting in your house that you would never, ever, even going through a swap meet, buy again, raise your hand. Yeah, I kind of thought so. No, you'd never buy it. You're never going to use it. But to you, it's something that represents those people. If it falls and it gets broken, may have to go out in the garbage then. But nothing else can ever take its place. And yet, that's not what's going on here in the Lord's Supper. It gets a little closer. But this is not just something that symbolizes or causes us to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's not just about remembering. For when God attaches His word to things, that word itself grants power and alters what something does. The night that Jesus gathered with his disciples and instituted this meal, there was already bread and wine present. It was a meal that God commanded his people to keep, to remember something that happened long ago. The night the angel of death passed over the people of Israel, and all the firstborn in Egypt died. Why didn't the firstborn in the homes of the Israelites die? Because God had given a command: take a lamb, kill it, eat it. Then take some of its blood and put some of it on the doorposts and some on the lintel. And if your home had that blood of a lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel, it literally saved the life of your child. How did it do that? I don't know. Outside of the fact that God had attached his word to it. It wasn't the blood of some magical lambs. But suppose that night you had said, well, you know, I don't have a lamb. You know, there's a stray dog out there. I'll try that. Probably would look the same to you until the angel of death passed over. Your firstborn died. Because God had not attached his word to the blood of a dog, cat, or anything else. It was to a lamb. It's strange what God's word can do when it attaches itself to something that by itself has no real power. There's another interesting instance of of God is doing that later on in the Old Testament. There is this Syrian, his name was Naaman. He had leprosy, a fatal disease back then. One of his servant girls, an Israelite who had been captured, told him about a prophet in Israel. She begged him to go see him. Finally listened and went. Came to the prophet Elisha. But when he asked for the prophet to come do something for him, the prophet just stayed in his house. Sent a servant out. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. Naaman was enraged. First, because he'd been almost completely ignored. But what would the waters of the Jordan, being washed in them 7 times, do? If you've never been to Israel and never seen the waters of Jordan, you'd probably know a little bit about why Naaman felt that way. Especially as you get closer to the Dead Sea. If you went to wash yourself in the Jordan River and you came out, you would be dirtier when you came out than when you went in. Naaman made note of that fact to his servants. Don't I have cleaner waters in Damascus? Why not wash in them? It was such a simple thing the prophet had asked him to do that it seemed too simple. And water is so ordinary. How can water heal you of leprosy? But finally, his servants convinced him. He went and washed. Because that water had been connected to the command of God, it healed him. Man at the pool of Siloam, the man blind from birth. Jesus puts a little mud and spit in his eyes, tells him, wash in the pool of Siloam. How can that cure a person of blindness, particularly when they're blind from birth? God connects his word to something. No matter how simple, no matter how ordinary it might seem, it takes on the power of God himself. My friends, this is not a symbolic meal. God is present. And when God is present, we need to take heed. God is not mocked. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then and so eat and drink of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Whoa. Bread and wine can do that? They're not treated rightly? Well, certainly not ordinary bread and wine, but this is not ordinary bread and wine. When it is attached to the word of God and used according to his promise. But when it is used rightly, it's not something meant to judge. It's something meant to heal. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you. In a mystical way that we will probably never understand, the power of God to heal, to strengthen faith, to give hope, to change lives, is truly and really present in this meal that we are about to eat. Oh yeah, it looks like ordinary bread and wine, but it's anything but ordinary. In with and under the bread and wine, God is present. He's reaching out and he's touching you to reassure you that your sins are forgiven and that the life that was restored to Jesus himself when he rose again on the third day. That same life, same hope is now yours. It is the body and the blood of the Lord. And we as Lutherans are kind of unique in believing that. In believing that this is not just something symbolic going on. It's not just pretend. Its power is not just in causing us to remember something. Its power in that Jesus is really there for you, for me. And the person who receives this meal, who might be doubting, does God really love me? Does God really care about me? If God really knows what I have been, would he still forgive me? Would he still want me to live with him in heaven? At this table, God is really present. And he really is saying to you, take and drink, eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood given for you. Amen.